Welcome to Innovate 608, the podcast that shines a light on Wisconsin's entrepreneurial ecosystem. I'm Scott Mosley, Executive Director of Starting Block, Madison's startup hub. In this episode, my co-host Kathleen Gallagher talks with Jonathan Fritz of HealthX Ventures about the applied venture class he teaches at Marquette University. Innovate 608 is made possible by the generous support of the American Family Institute for Corporate and Social Impact and our media partner, the Wisconsin State Journal. Now, here's Kathleen.
Hi, I'm Kathleen Gallagher, Executive Director of Five Lakes Institute, host of the Midwest Moxie podcast that features the region's successful founders, and a co-host of Innovate 608. In spring of 2023, Marquette University launched Wisconsin's first undergraduate applied venture capital class, taught by Jonathan Fritz from HealthX Ventures and Dan Renouard from Baird. The class is designed to expose students to the world of venture capital and its very different approach to risk and reward. During the semester, students hear from a large number of guest speakers who operate in Wisconsin's venture capital ecosystem, and for a final project, they evaluate a real company and recommend whether or not to invest in it. We're here today with Jonathan Fritz, partner at HealthX Ventures and co-instructor for Marquette University's new Applied Venture Capital class. Jonathan, welcome to Innovate 608.
Thank you for having me, Kathleen. I really appreciate it. Looking forward to our conversation.
Me too. How did this class come about? I'm guessing Marquette didn't post an ad for a venture capitalist to teach a new class and work in creating it.
No, they didn't. And it's really an interesting kind of story that goes back almost 25 years. I saw an email from Marquette that was highlighting the groundbreaking for their new business school, O'Brien Hall on 16th in Wisconsin. And, you know, I happened to see it and thought, wow, this is really interesting. I wonder if they're doing anything around innovation, around venture capital, startups. And so I sent a text to a good friend of mine that we actually lived on the same floor in McCormick Hall as freshmen at Marquette. And the next thing I know is I'm getting a call from Dean Tim Hanley, who's the dean of the business school. And you know, I was like, okay, well, that's pretty fun. And so Tim and I ended up sitting down and talking about a number of the new initiatives that the university has, and in particular, things that are going on at the business school and what they wanted to achieve, you know, broader vision with this new business school. And it's interesting because O'Brien Hall is the only building on the north side of Wisconsin Avenue that hosts classes. Everything else is on the south side of Wisconsin Avenue, and so most of the dorms and, you know, the union and things like that. And so you've got this interesting building that is a kind of hub. And anyways, long story short, Tim had put me in touch with Dan Renouard, who became my co-instructor. And Dan actually had an interest in teaching a course like this, but wanted to have someone with venture capital expertise and, you know, actively working at a venture fund to co-teach with. And we ended up putting the class together, and, you know, it was the first semester that the building was open, and we had 24 students. So it was wild success for the first time that we taught it this past spring.
So I'm going to back you up a little bit. You said, very casually, we ended up putting the class together. There aren't a lot of models for an applied venture capital class. How did you go about doing that?
Kathleen, you're right. There's no textbook for teaching venture capital. And a lot of it is experiential learning. And both Dan and I were really aligned in wanting to have an applied course, an applied learning course, where the students could learn from those that are actually practicing it in the field. And so that's where we really started with. And, you know, Marquette has an applied investment management program, that is really robust and is, you know, one of the highlights of the business school. And they've got courses in private equity and real estate investing and others. And so this course really fit into that overall applied learning. But we really looked at it and said, we'd like to bring in as many guest speakers as possible so students can learn about different, you know, stages of investing, different industries, different perspectives, and also from, you know, successful entrepreneurs so that they could really learn from those that are doing it or that have succeeded. And another thing I'll say is that there is a, you know, a small fund that had been set up by Marquette alums that we integrated into the class, in which the students were able to see the portfolio companies and were able to talk to the founders. And we can get into more of the details on that.
Well, you anticipated my question, because the applied part of the investment management class is that they manage a real portfolio. They buy real stocks and real bonds. And so what you're saying is, because Marquette had that venture fund, you could add this very applied element where they evaluate the companies. How do they apply their learning?
Sure. And just as a clarification, it's not Marquette's venture fund. It's a fund that was created by some Marquette alums, a small fund that invested in 9 different startups. But if you think about venture capital, especially from a fund model, most venture funds are on a 10 to 12 year life cycle. So you can't necessarily purchase equity in a company and then sell it within the timeframe that a student's going to be in a class or even on campus. And so one of the ways of doing applied learning in this area is to be able to put together an annual report for that fund, which includes talking to all the founders and understanding where that company is. And then also helping run the annual meeting for a fund, which takes all of the, you know, preparation, all the communications with the companies, and then presenting it to the limited partners, which are the investors in that fund.
That sounds actually fun and hard. So what a great experience. So I went and Googled university venture capital class just to see what I came up with. And the top results were for places like UC Berkeley, University of Pennsylvania, Columbia University. Wisconsin companies get less than 1% of all venture capital deployed in the U.S. This is not a hotbed of venture capital. Those schools are all on the coast. You said you got 24 students. What's the allure? Do they think they're all going to work in venture capital?
So I really appreciate the question. And I would say that, you know, let's reframe it a little bit from the standpoint of, not are we going to teach students necessarily to become venture capitalists, but to teach them more about the asset class, to teach them more about what venture capital is, how venture capitalists make investments, you know, how venture capital funds make money, and the impact that those companies have on the world. And so what I would say is that the students coming out of our class, some of them may be going into large corporations, and those corporations might have their own captive venture fund, corporate venture capital. And some of those companies might actually look at making strategic investments. They might look at making investments into other, you know, into venture funds as a limited partner. But there's also, if you're looking at creating a company, if you're a first-time founder, having knowledge about the venture capital industry and who you're trying to pitch and convince to really help you fulfill the vision of whatever problem you're trying to solve in that startup, it's going to be really helpful to understand how venture funds work and what venture capital is all about. And, you know, also, you know, if they, you know, become successful and maybe they want to start doing angel investing as an individual, or maybe they want to personally invest into venture funds. All these sort of things could be very, you know, different routes and different pathways for the students to eventually take, and not necessarily just to become a venture capitalist. But, you know, the hope is that through this class and through other programs at Marquette, that those students may look at venture capital as a potential career choice where they wouldn't have had access to that before.
So that just made me want to take the class, but they weren't hearing that. How did you get 24 students to sign up? They didn't hear that spiel that you just did. They just saw it in the course catalog, right?
They did. You know, we have some great supporters at Marquette in the business school and outside of the business school that helped us get the word out, you know, within Marquette. And, you know, it's a unique offering. And so a lot of those students saw that opportunity, and we were really, really grateful that they chose to take the class.
So did you have to manage expectations when they came in? Like, you know, did they all come in thinking, I'm going to be a VC, just give me the, you know, the playbook, or, you know?
Most of them already knew what path they wanted to take, generally speaking. Some already had job offers. You know, we had a mix of primarily juniors and seniors in the class, but there were a couple sophomores as well. And so they, you know, generally speaking, I would say that the students had in mind a pathway that they wanted to take within business. And they saw this as an opportunity to really learn. And I'll say one of those 24 students actually audited the class. He was a senior and didn't need the credits, but wanted to learn and just wanted to experience. And he took part in everything, you know, every single aspect of the class, which I thought was really, really cool.
So have you gotten your evaluations yet? What kind of reaction did the students have to the class?
We did. And we had, happy to say and very humbly, some really glowing recommendations and responses from the students. And one of the reasons for that was not just the guest speakers that we brought in and the ability for them to work with a venture fund and to learn from, you know, investors that are actively investing in startups, but we also did some programs after class, like networking, where they were able to meet other people in the business community and to learn from them and network and build relationships. And, you know, that was something that they really, really enjoyed and found a lot of value in.
Well, Marquette is getting its money's worth out of, I mean, between the two of you, between you and Dan at Baird, you've got a really good sense of the venture landscape around the state. You know who the people are you want to pull in. I mean, when I think of the richness of connections that you're creating for the university and for those students, it's really powerful, I would think.
Yeah, and it's a real honor to do it because it, quite frankly, it's a kind of full circle for me, having been, you know, a student at Marquette undergrad. My freshman dorm is on the footprint of where this new business school is, which is, I mean, that in and of itself is just a lot of fun. And I grew up in Milwaukee, and my father went to Marquette for undergrad and dental school. And so it's a real honor to be able to be part of Marquette in this capacity and to be able to give knowledge and help Marquette students really see, you know, their aspect of business.
And we haven't said you live in Madison, so you're trucking over for this class. That's how much you care about it.
That's true.
Have you considered opening the class to students at other universities?
You know, one of the things that we wanted to do is that we wanted to obviously test out and put the course together and, you know, focus in on Marquette and business students at Marquette, because that was going to take away, you know, I would say the most number of variables. And what we found is that there was obviously a lot of interest from just business students. And so we are thinking about and looking at ways of expanding. And, you know, certainly Marquette has relationships with other schools, you know, primarily in the Milwaukee area. So that's something that we'd like to explore as we continue to work on the course.
Before we know it, you'll be writing a textbook.
I don't know about that.
We're talking with Jonathan Fritz, partner at HealthX Ventures and co-instructor for Marquette University's new Applied Venture Capital class. Now we're going to hear about how Jonathan became a venture capitalist and how HealthX Ventures makes investments into small, promising startups. You've got an undergraduate degree in biology from Marquette. Then you went and got a law degree at Mitchell Hamlin and a master's degree in bioinformatics and computer science at the Medical College of Wisconsin. You've also done specialized programs in healthcare and venture capital at Stanford, Harvard, and Wharton. I'm surprised you ever stopped school, Jonathan. Did you start out with the goal of becoming a venture capitalist?
No, actually I didn't. I was going to become a dentist and follow in my father's footsteps. And interesting thing happened junior year of my undergraduate work. I had a class, a genetics class, that a patent attorney came into and spoke about the needs for those with engineering science degrees to go to law school and become a patent attorney. So that's ultimately what I ended up doing, is that I went to law school and I practiced law for about 12 years. And, you know, I think back, you know, over the last 21 years or so that I've been engaging with startups and VC and entrepreneurship and innovation. And I think that, you know, the things that I've done in that time frame, there's always been a consistency of innovation. And that innovation thread has been a driving, I guess, light, you know, for what I've done in my career. And, you know, like I mentioned, I spent 12 years practicing law, but I was working with startups and I was, you know, helping them grow and mentoring them. And had also a number of operating roles in different companies. And before I joined HealthX, I was the chief innovation officer for Chime. And Chime's a global association of hospital executives, primarily the chief information officer, chief digital officer, and you know, others that are essentially the leaders in digital health throughout the world. And I founded that for Chime and really helped educate those leaders on innovation, about how to work with startups and how to work with venture capital. And, you know, I think back, there's a number of things that had significant influence on kind of my path. And one of them was working for a large computer corporation during law school. And at that point in time, I had a biology degree and had not even taken a typing class. So I didn't have any exposure really to software, computers, for the most part from a education standpoint. And that really opened my eyes to opportunities in different technology areas and overall the impact that innovation can have on the world and how it can make people's lives better.
Yeah, I noticed on your LinkedIn profile, you say your passion is innovation at the intersection of technology and healthcare. And I guess that's what you just described for us. Right? So you, in January 2022, you became a partner at HealthX Ventures, a digital healthcare-focused venture capital firm. Tell us about HealthX Ventures and what you invest in and how that works.
Sure. So we are an early stage digital health venture fund. So we invest at the earliest stage of companies, usually the first professional capital into those companies. Now they may have had angel investors, or they might have had friends and family that helped get the company off the ground. But we're generally leading investments into those companies. They're digital health, which means largely companies that are using some form of software technology to improve healthcare, to solve problems within the healthcare industry. And we focus in on companies that we can also have a significant impact and really help those founders grow the company. And things where, you know, where we can help with the management, we can help with identifying product market fit, initial customer engagements and relationships and introductions, but also access and introductions to later stage capital. Because we've invested in a total of 30 companies. And of those companies, I think it's more than, I know it's more than 100 other venture funds. Most of them outside of the state have also invested in those companies. So we have access and relationships with venture funds that are on the coasts and in between.
Tell us, you've invested in so many companies at HealthX. Give us an example of the type of company you're talking about, what, how they're changing healthcare.
Sure. So there are obviously a number of examples that I could talk about. One of them that's here in Madison is called Rehab Path. And they're, generally speaking, an addiction and mental health ally. Mental health and addiction is just a massive, massive problem here in the U.S. and around the world. And what they provide is a path to mental health and addiction recovery for patients. Another company that is...
Can I ask you what's different about how they do it? I mean, that's what you guys are really looking for, right? The new way they address it?
Yeah, so it's the way that they enable the patient to find the best rehab or addiction center that fits their needs and enables them to identify how to pay for it and whether their insurance covers it and really helps them through that process. And because we're talking about people that are battling, you know, significant issues and they're looking for that ally to really help them through the process. And this is one of the steps to help them to get to recovery. Another company that's here in Wisconsin is Enso Data. And Enso, it's amazing. They really help sleep centers diagnose and the testing of sleep centers. Actually, let me restart that. Another company here in Wisconsin that we've invested in is Enso Data. And what they really do is optimize the sleep lab workflow. So think about patients that are going into a sleep lab to have a sleep study performed. They help those clinicians analyze that data and improve essentially the treatment ultimately for those patients. And they've just recently surpassed 1 million patients that they have performed sleep studies on and analyzed that data. And then one final company I wanted to mention is in the generative AI space called Orbita. And they really focus in on healthcare-specific conversational AI and help streamline the communications and workflows for health systems in that area.
I get it. It's taking procedures and practices that are in our healthcare system and using technology to make them work better or more efficiently or more smoothly, right?
Absolutely.
Well, you guys are super interesting because we've got, you know, electronic medical records giant Epic Systems headquartered here in Madison, you know, which is huge in terms of digital records for you go to your doctor and they're probably using Epic. But there hasn't, until HealthX came along, there wasn't a lot of focus in Madison on the startup end of those businesses. You guys have really brought that to light in Madison. Are there advantages to operating in Epic's shadow?
You know, I think it's really interesting because you can look at Research Triangle, you can look at Silicon Valley, you can look at other regions where there's a multitude of forces that are going on that enable an ecosystem of success in different business areas. And in particular, you know, Wisconsin is really a leader in healthcare. And part of it absolutely is due to Epic. You know, one of the things that most folks that are outside of healthcare don't realize is that 19 cents out of every dollar that's spent is on healthcare. So we're talking about a massive, massive industry. And in particular, technology-enabled solutions are only going to continue to grow and positively impact our lives and the lives of our families and friends. And so with Epic being here, one of the leaders in electronic healthcare records, most folks don't realize that all of those customers, which is the majority of health systems around the world, they come to Madison. You know, Epic has one of the largest private auditoriums in the world, and it's designed to bring all of their customers together and to really help those customers with success. And, you know, that in and of itself is really impactful because all of those leaders from other healthcare organizations are coming here. And it's kind of funny because there are CIOs and other hospital executives that know the restaurants here in Madison as well as I do, because they're here so regularly. Now, on the employee side of things, I'd be remiss if I didn't say that Epic really trains their people, their employees, their teammates really well, and they're highly educated, intelligent folks that are coming in and getting amazing exposure to healthcare, amazing training. And you know, some stay for a while and others, you know, stay for a shorter period of time. And when they leave Epic, they've got all of that knowledge, all of that experience, all of that training, and they want to do something with it. You know, and in many cases, they are starting companies because they see other problems in healthcare and they want to solve them. And, you know, we have a benefit in that, you know, my partner, Mark Bakken, who founded HealthX in 2015, he was the founder of Nordic Consulting. And he had grown that company very fast and was very successful in doing that. And that was as a result of an opportunity because of Epic, because a lot of these health systems needed help in implementing those systems. And then, you know, Mark had great success, starts a venture fund, and then invests in 30 companies. Many of them are Wisconsin companies. And from that, it's just this kind of ripple effect that has a growing, almost exponential impact on the state, the region, and healthcare overall.
Yeah, it's kind of an issue of what you hitch your wagon to, huh?
Absolutely.
HealthX has been very successful with its first two funds. I'm hearing you're raising a third. You, with your legal background, I'm sure you're not going to talk to me about that. But I will ask, what kinds of opportunities do you see in digital health? How far can this go? You know, how will the companies that you're investing in change the healthcare system as we now know it?
You know, I think that we're still in the early stages of what technology can do to make healthcare better. And that's one of the main driving forces that we have in looking at funding and supporting the founders that are trying to make healthcare better and to really support those founders in making their vision successful. And some of those things include improving access to healthcare. And that can be through technology means where it's virtual care, you know, or it's maybe even virtual nursing, which also fits into the future of work, and particularly in healthcare. But also looking at enabling more efficient and better care at home. You know, we're starting to see more and more opportunity to solve healthcare problems where the patient is centered at home as opposed to being centered at a clinic or within the hospital. And being able to invest in those types of companies that are enabling that and improving that type of access are some of the areas that we're really looking at today.
It sounds incredibly promising, and what an amazing thing to, what a journey from wanting to be a dentist to trying to change the world of healthcare. It's been such a pleasure hearing about it. Thank you, Jonathan.
You're welcome. Thank you, Kathleen.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Starting Blocks Innovate 608. You can hear more episodes about Wisconsin's entrepreneurial ecosystem on the Starting Block website at startingblockmadison.org or on your favorite podcast platform.